And we've been keeping close tabs on the floods in Pakistan, where high waters in the mountainous northern part of the country have hurtled down to the flat plains of the south. Let's hear now from one landowner whose 700-acre farm is next to the Indus River, and so in the path of the rushing waters. We spoke to Javed Amin Khwaja. He grows mangoes and sugarcane on his land. I asked him what we would see now if we were able to look out over his farm.
Well, you would just see the top bit of the sugarcane crop because there's at places about 5 feet of water. And a lot of people who were in the low-lying areas have sort of moved up to small embankments that we had around the farm to protect us from the river. Now you just see a mass of people sitting there who've come from the low-lying areas.
And is that why there has not been a huge loss of life, even with all this devastation, is that people are able to move up just a little bit to higher ground?
Exactly. In Punjab, it's basically just all flat land. So when there is flooding, the water sort of moves in gradually. It's not like a torrent. And so people had a lot of time. We had at least a day's notice that there would be massive flooding in our area.
You know, I gather that your family has a small charitable foundation. What, that your grandfather started?
Yeah, my grandfather set up this charitable foundation, and on a regular basis, we are running some schools in the village and around there, and also a health center. And with this foundation, this time we've decided to adopt 1,000 families and provide them immediate shelter, which is in the form of tents, and then provide them with relief goods right up to the point when they are ready to move back to their homes, and also help them in building those homes. And we see this taking place for the next 5 to 6 months, because there are places where the water probably won't recede for 3 months.
It sounds like there was a certain buildup of a response.
I think you're right. Initially, when the flooding came, people didn't really understand the scale of the disaster because it was in such a vast area. I mean, it basically covers the length of the country, from our border to China to right up to the Indian Ocean. People, I think, were just overwhelmed and took, you know, like almost a week for people to realize how to organize themselves. You know, like our little organization, the initial response was to, you know, just buy a lot of food stuff and relief goods and try to ship them there. And then after a week, we realized that, you know, you have to do these things in a much more organized and planned way. And so we had to decide how many people can we meaningfully help. And we decided that 1,000 families would be a number that we think we can reasonably look after. And that means, you know, providing them with food, health, hygiene. We have organized these mobile hospitals almost. These are big vans where you can inspect the patient. You can even do minor surgery in there. There's clean sort of surgical areas inside the van. Because we've got lots of skin rashes, skin problems because of the stagnant water, and also some waterborne disease like diarrhea and maybe even the beginning of malaria.
Is there a tradition of this sort of helping, reaching out at the non-governmental level?
Oh, most definitely. I remember when I was a young kid, we had this earthquake in 1970. I remember our whole house was, there were seamstresses doing, you know, quilts and comforters, and there were all sorts of activity going on. It wasn't just in our house. I remember a lot of my friends, similar things were happening in their house. And it's almost spontaneous, you know. People just collected materials and donated it to the government, and they helped distribute them. Now, I think because of all sorts of issues, a lot of people basically feel more comfortable donating to a private organization because they're, if nothing, they're far more efficient, you know, and less corrupt, obviously.
You know, looking out at, again, at your own crops that are underwater,
right.
Have you lost everything this year?
On my farm, I think part of my farm, which was under 5 to 6 feet of water, I don't think there were much would have survived there once the water recedes. I didn't have a lot of cotton this year, but people who had cotton have lost everything.
Mr. Khwaja, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Javed Amin Khwaja owns a large farm in Punjab province. And this morning, a Japanese plane managed to land at the international airport there loaded with aid. Still, the situation for many is dire. The UN says 800,000 Pakistanis continue to be stranded by the floods, reachable only by air.